Time to get a Monday hit of mail from the world of rugby league with the man that holds the Triple M NRL family together, the glue, Brent Reed from News Corp. Good morning, Reedy.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm very well. Big story of the day, the future of Michael Maguire. Where is it at?
Well, today is D-Day. There's a board meeting this afternoon, late this afternoon, where the recommendations will come back from the review that was done from the football committee, and then the board will make their decision. So we could have a result as early as this afternoon, late tonight, on Michael Maguire's future. Either way, I imagine there'll be some form of resolution because the board's been waiting on the review and the recommendations out of the review, and they will have them today. So I would see no reason why it needs to drag on. I know they want to get it resolved as quickly as they can. So I imagine they'll get those recommendations, and then they'll make a decision.
And this obviously has the opportunity to open the floodgates for other West Tigers-related issues to be resolved, certain players staying, certain players potentially coming to the club, some leaving. What is your gut at the moment about Madge? Will he be at the West Tigers for next season?
Yeah, well, my gut is he's in some big trouble. I think that's been pretty obvious. Most people have had that sense along the way, but it will all depend on this review and the recommendations that come out of the review. You know, the implications are huge for the Tigers because, you know, beyond the coach, they've frozen recruitment while this has been going on. They can unfreeze that part of their operations as well, and that's part of the reason they need to resolve it pretty quickly, aside from all the speculation that's been going on and will continue to go on unless they make a decision today. So, you know, I think they want to end it quickly. I think they want to resolve it. And my sense is that Michael's, sadly, if he's a guy I really respect and like. My sense is that perhaps he's coached his last game for the club.
Parramatta, their season came to a close on Saturday night. A hard-fought 8-6 loss, a gripping game against the Penrith Panthers. Lots of questions raised about the refereeing in the game, the decision or the ability for the Penrith trainer to stop the game late for that Mitch Kenny ankle injury. But Brad Arthur was measured and composed, critical, but measured nevertheless in his post-match. Their season is done, Reedy. What mode do they switch into now? They put the contract negotiation for Clint Gutherson on hold. Is that their first priority now?
Well, they switch straight into retention mode because they've got a heap of players before November 1 they need to lock away. You mentioned Gutho, Reid Marnie, Isaiah Papali'i, Murata Niokore, Ryan Madison. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So quickly they immerse themselves in contract negotiations. And the other issue is Brad. I mean, you know, I think Brad Arthur came away from this season in the end with his reputation enhanced. And I'd imagine Brad and the club would like some clarity around his future. He's about to enter the last year of his contract. So quickly they switch into retention mode, and they've got some priorities they've got to lock away. I think it starts with Brad and Gutho, the captain and the coach, and then it moves on to those other players. I don't think they'll keep them all. I don't think it's possible. I think a guy like Niokore, I know they want to keep him, but there's some clubs circling him with big money offers. You know, Ryan Madison sort of didn't play one of the finals and was off the bench in another. I think he's a player that potentially could find a home elsewhere, but if not next season, then certainly when he comes off contract the year after. So I think it's going to be difficult for them to keep them all. But I've got to say, I think there's a determination amongst that group of players to stay together because they can see how close they are to potentially ending one of the sport's most celebrated droughts. So I don't think we'll see a lot of movement. I think a lot of those guys will stay. Most of them will stay, but I'm not sure they'll be able to keep them all.
And it strikes me, Reedy, that togetherness of this group, and while they probably claim it's been there all year, it feels like that they really came together in this final or in this this hub isolation period up in Queensland in the midst of all this hotel room speculation in the media about players being not happy with other players having better rooms. And we saw Mitch Moses give the comment to the media at one point saying that the players have spoken. You being the media, don't need to know what was said, but we have. And it feels like there's a real togetherness of this group that's been born out of the last 3-4 weeks.
Well, I don't think you can understate the old circle the wagons philosophy. You know, the us against the world, which is what I think they had a bit of. I think everyone was sort of writing them off, and there was all the talk about the contracts and the coach's future. And I think that actually worked really well. That bonded them together more, made them a stronger unit, because I think they galvanised a little bit out of that. So, you know, I think that's evidence that it's a pretty close group, and that, as I said, I think they want to stay together because a lot of people thought they should have won that game on the weekend against Penrith, and that shows how close they are to potentially playing in a grand final again.
If they are making Brad Arthur and Clint Gutherson the priorities from a contract perspective, surely Isaiah Papali'i has got to be the third cab off the rank there. He, what an amazing season he has had on a cut price deal.
Well, I think the other guy's Reid Marnie. I think we saw how much they missed Reid Marnie in that final on Saturday night. I think if Reid Marnie's here, they'll probably win the game. And he's a November 1 guy, but certainly Papali'i, I mean, he's on bugger all at the moment. And they're going to have to, they want to keep him. You know, he's a real priority, you're right. They're going to have to pay him a bit more than he's on now, but he won't be going anywhere, I imagine.
Reid Marnie, I was not aware that he was off contract as well. There is, so they've got some very important pieces if Parramatta want to be back at the pointy end of the season next year as well. And before we finish up, we should touch on Anthony Milford. The story broke this morning, Peter Bedell from the Courier-Mail saying that Queensland police have confirmed Broncos star Anthony Milford has been charged with three counts of assault occasioning bodily harm. Now, Milford is contracted to join South Sydney from next season. He's obviously in the final year of a deal with the Brisbane Broncos. He will appear in court on October the 20th. And obviously the NRL Integrity Unit will now be investigating the matter. It's a police issue, so we won't go into the hows and whats and whys of the situation. But from an NRL-only scope, Reedy, where does this leave Anthony Milford contractually?
Well, it's an interesting one because he's sort of he's in no man's land a little bit. I mean, he's technically still a Broncos player, and he is a Broncos player until October 31. That's when his contract runs out. So right now, I know the Broncos sort of tried to wash their hands of it, but he's a Brisbane player right now. So at the moment, he's under their auspices. But, I mean, obviously on November 1, he becomes a South Sydney player, and you would imagine this will drag on potentially beyond that date. So I think, you know, the NRL is going to have a decisive part to play here, but I imagine South will be looking at this right now, and it's sort of becomes a South Sydney issue, even though technically he's not their player yet.
Yeah, well, the Broncos did release a statement this morning saying Anthony Milford has completed his contractual duties with the Brisbane Broncos. He is on leave and due to begin a new NRL contract elsewhere at the commencement of the 2022 preseason. Basically, that is the Brisbane Broncos washing their hands of the situation regarding Anthony Milford. So you would imagine that this, if this does fall under the NRL's no-fault stand-down policy, we're unlikely to see Anthony Milford anytime soon, but the NRL will be investigating. It's also a police matter, so we will leave it there as well. Brent Reed, very nice work for a Monday Mail. We'll hear from you Thursday on the Rush Hour.